Well, hey, ecosystem listeners, watchers, whatever you may be, we are excited for this conversation.
Yes, we are.
It's gonna be a really good conversation. Hey, I'm Grant. This is CJ, and our awesome guest is Sarah Olson. She is joining us. Sarah, could you tell us a little about who you are and why this conversation is so suited for you?
So, as some of you may know, I am the wife to Caleb Olson, who is currently one of the acoustic guitar members on the worship team.
Yes.
Solid guy.
Yes. And then I also have two boys that you may have seen down in New Life Kids, and it is Everett and Merritt. And then also, for this particular conversation, I am on my way to becoming a licensed mental health counselor.
Nice.
And then I am also a personal trainer. So I have been a personal trainer since 2018.
Oh, wow.
There you go.
Awesome. So uniquely appropriate for this podcast, because as our listeners probably know, we're going behind the scenes of a sermon series. We've been in this series called Healthy to the Core. And we've been talking about all of the different facets of human health from scripture. So we've talked about our emotional health with Chelsea in our first week. We've talked about spiritual disciplines. We've talked about how our physical, emotional, spiritual health all go together. And we're going to be talking about a couple more things. We're recording this a couple weeks early, so
We
we'll have
are.
the sermon 7. So we're guessing about the
Yes,
future sermons.
true.
But we're talking about, because you, Sarah, are uniquely suited to talk to us about our physical, emotional, and spiritual health. Because you lead a life group as well.
Oh,
So
yes, I
you're,
do.
yeah, you and Caleb are walking with people as they develop in their spiritual health. You are personally walking with people in their emotional health and in their physical health as well. So yeah, this is going to be awesome. So,
For sure.
here's my first question. When you're thinking of scripture, and you're thinking of the overlap between our care for our bodies and care for our souls, kind of holistic health, where do you turn in scripture? Because I would guess, and probably like 5, 7 years ago, if I had heard something like this, I would have said, okay, maybe I should do sit-ups, but that's not what the Bible tells me. So where would you turn biblically, in scripture to see why we care for body and soul?
Of course. So I'm going to kind of toss in scripture kind of along our entire talk.
Sweet.
But I wanted to start specifically with one verse that the world kind of rewords sometimes, or the scripture where some people turn to say that we don't necessarily have to take care of our physical body. So that comes from 1 Timothy chapter 4, and it's at the beginning of verse 8. And so that verse in one translation says that bodily exercise profits a little. So you can see how that verse to some may seem like, oh, it's not going to profit me. Oh, or it just gives a little bit. So they're not going to put in the effort to do anything physically with our body because scripture says it profits a little. So I wanted to bring that verse in first, and then now I wanted to read the verse in kind of a more fullness of context. So the verse is written to Timothy from Paul, and it's whenever Timothy is on his pastoral journey. And so Paul says, he's talking to Timothy as an encourager. He says from verse 8 to 12, "Do not waste time arguing over godless ideas and old wives' tales." So I'm going to pause right there for a second. Godless ideas and old wives' tales. So whenever I think of this, I see like the worldly views and diets or fads or the trends or anything from social media. So then it continues. It says, instead, train yourself to be godly. Physical training is good, but training for godliness is much better, promising benefits in this life and in the life to come. This is a trustworthy saying, and everyone should accept it. This is why we work hard and continue to struggle, for our hope is in the living God, who is the Savior of all people and particularly all believers. Teach these things and insist that everyone learn them. Do not let anyone think less of you because you are young, but be an example to all believers in what you say, in the way you live, in your love, in your faith, and in your purity. So that verse if you read it in the fullness,
sure, yeah,
it kind of brings home that mm-hmm. we do need to take care of our physical health, and it does have an effect on the rest mm-hmm. of our lives.
Yeah, absolutely.
And the people
yeah.
around us.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, for sure.
Yeah, absolutely. And there's a, I want to do a sidebar here, because there's a principle in this that's for the ecosystem of scripture. Whenever we're studying the Bible, do not take a verse out of context. All right. It does not matter what like NBA player you see, right? Philippians 4:13 on their shoes. You know, that verse says, I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength, but it doesn't mean I can join the NBA if I try hard enough. That's not what it means, right? Paul wrote that in a specific context. And if you know the historic context, you know, he was in prison when he wrote that. So he was talking about being able to do all things. But even if you don't know the historical context, if you just read the verses that come before, you read, he says, I have learned the secret of being content in little and with much. I can do all things. So he's not saying I can win a championship through Christ who strengthens me, or I can get a promotion through Christ who strengthens me. He's saying whatever comes in life, good or bad. So same thing here. Right. What you're talking about, you can pull this out of context and say, physical exercise profits a little, but spiritual exercise profits a lot. That's not what Paul's saying. Mm-hmm. Paul's saying this is good, but there's something more. There's something better. Right. I'm working on a sermon from John chapter 6 right now. That's going to be coming up in our next series. And Paul says, Jesus says, and I'm going to get this backwards a little bit. It's not going to be the exact words, but basically, the spirit's what matters. The flesh doesn't profit you. The spirit is what matters. The flesh hasn't profited you anything. And once again, you could read that as the body doesn't matter, only the spirit matters.
Yep.
But if you read it in context, what you read is that what Jesus is saying is the righteousness and accomplishments you did in your flesh do not bring value. But what the Lord speaks through his spirit is what brings value.
Yeah.
So he's not like, you have to put these things in context. Yeah. And that's where heresy, fun fact, nerd, historical fact real quick. One of the things that led to the founding of Mormonism was a verse in James being taken out of context. So there's a verse in James that says, if any of you lacks wisdom, ask God, right? So if I have my facts correct, somebody fact check me and comment or something. But if I have my facts correct, that was one of the passages that Joseph Smith took. And he said, I asked God for wisdom and God gave me these tablets and goggles and the angel Moroni spoke and gave me a new revelation. Right. So you take that out of context.
Yeah.
And that can be really bad. Right. And if people listening don't read in context, right? But when you read it in context, what you realize is that James is saying, if you do not know what to do in life, God will give you wise counsel. He won't give you new truth. He'll give you wisdom to apply the truth that you've received.
So
that's huge. I'm really glad you brought that out. And I want to make sure anytime we see something like this in scripture, because that affects this conversation, but it also affects anytime we're studying scripture.
Sure.
So,
yeah.
Okay. So now there's quite a few scripture that are for him.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm just going to give you a few here. The first one I have is Romans 12:1-2. It says, and so, dear brothers and sisters, I plead with you to give your bodies to God because of all he has done for you. Let them be a living and holy sacrifice, the kind that he finds acceptable. This is truly the way to worship him. Don't copy the behavior or customs of the world. Saying that again. But let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. Then you will learn to know God's will for you, which is good, pleasing, and perfect. So that's another well-rounded mm-hmm. verse that brings in so many different spiritual disciplines. Mm-hmm. And you're like, oh, yeah.
Yeah.
But you don't necessarily think of going that area.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Sure. Yeah. Yep.
And then there is 1 Corinthians chapter 6, and it's verse 12, and I'm going to paraphrase it because it's a little hard to understand. Everything is permissible, but not everything is beneficial.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm going to say it one more time.
Yep.
Everything is permissible, but not everything is beneficial. So we can take this from multiple perspectives. So we'll take it from an addiction mm-hmm. perspective.
Sure.
So of course, you know, someone who has an addiction, it may not be beneficial for them to either be around people or go to an area that has that addiction, because it wouldn't be a healthy place for them.
Mm-hmm.
But then another way that you can take it is with allergies. Food allergies.
Okay.
Yep. So you have a gluten allergy.
Suffer under the curse.
Right.
Yeah.
So I have an allergy to bananas.
Oh, I hate bananas. So I don't have an allergy, but yeah, that works. I still avoid them. Yeah,
that is. I love bananas, but I can't eat them. do you like the taste of bread?
Yeah, I do. Yes. You do? Yes, I do.
It does not like you.
No, it does.
Right. No, so it's bad. Permissible.
Yes.
But it's not beneficial.
Exactly. Yep.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah. That's another place. Sorry to jump in and do another sidebar, but this is, we're pointing to these things that have implications for all of our lives.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what you find as you follow Jesus. What you're going to find is that you're rarely going to find wisdom for your marriage that doesn't affect your parenting or your generosity or anything like that. Like, we are whole beings, so everything affects us wholly. But when you're looking at this permissible versus beneficial thing, like if you're talking about, I would assume, I'm not a personal trainer, but I attempt to, you know, take care of myself, that if you start asking, like, okay, how much ice cream am I allowed to eat? That's the wrong question, right? But if you start asking, like, okay, well, what's going to be the best thing for me to do today? Then you're going to say, okay, like, a little bit of ice cream is not going to hurt me, but doing this every day would hurt me. It's not about whether ice cream's right or wrong, right? But it's the same thing, like, when we start talking about sin struggles, you know, if someone struggles with lust, if someone struggles with an addiction, like you mentioned earlier, the question can be, what counts and what doesn't? Right. You know what I mean? Like, what
is the line?
Yeah, exactly. Yep. Like, how much can I drink before I'm drunk? Right. How much, what can I look at before it's porn? What can I do that's not the thing? And that's the wrong way to look at it.
Yep.
Right. You're forgiven the sins I held against you, but is it helping you? Because even if it's not across the line, it might still be harming you.
Yeah.
You know, pulling you in the wrong direction. So that way of thinking is actually, I think, the key to, you know, wisdom and maturity as a follower of Jesus.
And jumping in on that, also protecting yourself against those temptations.
Mm-hmm.
So intentionally making the choice to either, you know, stay away from a certain place or certain things so that you don't have those fiery darts from the enemy coming at you.
Yep. Yep. See, I don't keep bananas in my house.
I can't either.
Oh, man. It's a shame.
Yeah.
Man.
Oh.
Gosh.
And the worst is fake banana. Like the Laffy Taffy.
Oh, yeah. I don't like that. Sunday. Yeah.
It's banana, but even worse.
Yeah. You can't. No. Imitation banana is not great. But real bananas are
you great. Allergic to, like, fake banana? Like banana flavored things?
I don't really eat banana flavored.
You probably just like.
Yeah. You're probably not like putting a quarter in the candy. Like, thing I'm going to get runs out of it or anything like that. Yeah. That makes sense.
I have tried. Since I was diagnosed with an allergy to bananas, I have tried them since, and they keep hurting me. So, yeah, been there, done that, tried.
Yeah.
I still love the taste.
Oh, really?
I do.
Yeah, I've seen some people like have an aversion to something, and they used to love it, and we were always miserable. But then once they stopped and then tried it again, they're miserable. Like, wait, my life is way. I feel way better without it. So I don't even crave it anymore. It's like, okay, I can get that, I guess, but.
Yeah.
Still, there's some things I think that just taste so good. But.
I feel like that a little bit until every once in a while I accidentally eat real bread. And the thing is, you can tell that it's not gluten-free by how good it tastes. You're like, wait a second, this has the good texture. This is not good. I can't do this. Yeah. They gave me the wrong bun.
Yeah. And then you hurt.
Yeah.
It's not worth it.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Exactly.
Very true.
Yeah.
So, like, everything is permissible, but not everything is good. So everything is permissible because God has given us the free will to make that choice. In 1 Corinthians chapter 6, 19 and 20, this is like the verse that a lot of people go to whenever they think about their physical body.
Sure.
So it says, "Don't you realize that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who lives in you and was given to you by God? You do not belong to yourself, for God bought you with a high price. So you must honor God with your body." So that also brings it kind of full circle to why you want to take care of your body, because it's actually God's spirit that's living on the inside of you. And like Wouldn't you want to take care of the Holy Spirit?
Sure.
You know?
Awesome. That's great. And I think what we're seeing here is they're all throughout Scripture, right? Like you just can't divide the things, right? If you're going to take care of your body, you are taking care of your soul. If you're going to take care of your soul, you are taking care of your body. If you try to separate those things, right? Like this last verse that you read, if I am creating a place for the Holy Spirit to dwell, that's my body. And I can't neglect my body while caring for my soul, you know, and my spiritual connection.
Yeah.
So for you as a counselor and a personal trainer, how do you see kind of internal health affecting physical health and vice versa? I say internal. Sometimes in our staff, we do these check-ins where we ask people to like say from a 1 to 10, how are you doing physically? How are you doing spiritually, emotionally? And we combine spiritually, emotionally together because it's really hard to separate like how you're doing spiritually from how you're doing emotionally, right? So that's why I say inside affecting outside, outside affecting inside. How do you see that overlap as a counselor and trainer?
Of course. So I'm going to start with a few verses as well. So The first one is Proverbs 14:30, and it says, a peaceful heart leads to a healthy body.
Mm.
So this is also going to come in play later as we talk.
Yeah.
But think about that. Like a peaceful heart will lead to your healthy body and physical body wholeness. And then the next one is 1 Peter chapter 1:13, and it says, so prepare your minds for action and exercise self-control. So that's kind of bringing it around full circle to prepare your minds. So your mind cannot be prepared if it is not properly fueled or nourished.
Sure.
And you won't be able to exercise self-control also for the same reason. So, and then it also kind of leads me into 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 2, which says, preach the word and be prepared in and out of season. And so this is actually a verse that I have known for a very long time, and it's kind of stuck with me because I want to be prepared. Like whenever the enemy comes, and, you know, a lot of times he catches us off guard.
Yeah.
But if we, you know, continue to do the spiritual discipline, then we will be prepared in and out of season for whatever it is that may come.
Sure.
Which is mental, emotional, physical, spiritual.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So let's see. I wanted to think about the different types of our health in maybe a new way. Mm-hmm. So whenever we talk about the Bible, so this is my personal opinion. So I'll state that real quick. My personal opinion is that God believes that every sin is created equal. Mm-hmm. So there is no sin that is worse or better than another. Like all sin is created equal, and he will judge them all the same. And it's on the same playing field as the spiritual disciplines. So in my mind, every spiritual discipline is the same. It doesn't matter which order you do them in.
Sure.
And it just matters that you are taking the next steps to do them.
Sure.
So, and that's when I bring in also the health.
Mm-hmm.
So taking care of your physical, mental, emotional, and spiritual health is a spiritual discipline. And God has called us to do it. And they're all on an even plane. So you can't just take care of your mental, emotional, and spiritual health and you're up there preaching and everything, but your body, what if you haven't been taking care of your body, you know, and it's noticeable? Is your congregation going to believe you that you're coming from the genuine place and that you're following the lead of the Holy Spirit? It can definitely be one of those convictions that you have within of, okay, I feel as if maybe I need to take a step in a certain area of my health, maybe a little further, and then go to God in that. And then he will work that within you. But to not see any spiritual discipline over one or the other,
sure,
but to treat them all on the same plane, like reading your Bible, just as important as praying, taking care of your physical body, just as important as taking care of your spiritual body as well.
Yeah.
Your physical health.
Yeah, absolutely.
Physical health, spiritual health, all of them.
Mm-hmm.
So I keep them all on an even plane and try not to prioritize them or create the checklist, you know, the daunting checklist that everybody is just like, oh, if I do this, I will be the perfect Christian. Sorry to say, you know, that's not the way it goes. It's a lifelong journey that we all travel down.
Yeah, makes sense.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, so have you seen, like, I hope this is like 100% true all the time, but like maybe talking to someone, counseling somebody, and there's just no breakthrough, but then maybe physically they're not that well. And then they start maybe doing something physical and their mental state gets better or something like that, or like, or vice versa. I mean, I'm not saying it has to be that way, but have you noticed like that? I don't know, just in your experience, I guess. Huh?
Yes.
Or like, or even like if they neglect, like, you know, like they are neglecting this, what is it doing in other areas of their life? Like you can clearly see like, oh, they're clearly neglecting their spiritual side of their, and it's also affecting their physical or something like that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So coming from a counselor's standpoint, you do see many clients that don't understand the connection between their mental or emotional self and their physical self. And many times you'll go through an awareness exercise with them of simply tuning them into their own body. So having those mindfulness exercises really kind of turns on the light bulb for a lot of people that their body matters, and that they can control what's happening in their body themselves. And also there's the book The Body Keeps the Score, which is kind of popular right now. It is a hard read, just so you know. It's a hard read. There's some hard stories in there, but it talks about how your physical body holds on to so much, and it can affect the rest of your life.
I've got a friend who recently, I guess this was a couple years ago, he's in his mid-40s, like not terribly unhealthy. He had a minor heart attack in his mid-40s. And, you know, in addition to diet and exercise change, the doctors basically said, you are too stressed. Like the stress and the pressure of your career thus far and kind of the way it's been handled is one of the things that contributed to this. So in addition to changing the way you eat, you also have to change the way you're handling stress, or it's going to get worse.
That's so true. Like I have a really good friend who left Gillette to be a mine manager in Wisconsin and was under a great deal of stress. He was having heart problems and didn't realize the correlation. He was under so much stress. He was fired from that job and he moved to Idaho and he works 4 days a week, has 3 day weekends with his family because the kids have 4 day school week and his wife works in the school, and his stress level had plummeted and his health is like gone the opposite direction. He never correlated that until he actually left that and changed his lifestyle. But yeah, it's so true.
And it's also true from a personal training standpoint. Like at first I would just simply give my clients just, you know, oh, this is what you need to do with your nutrition. This is how you need to exercise. But then, you know, after the first couple, I'm like, oh man, this is so much more. Like they have stressful lives. They have, they need help with time management. And you don't really realize how much that affects it until you get deeper into it.
Yeah,
for sure.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I can say personally, for most of my life, I've struggled off and on kind of situational depression and anxiety. And I can say there is a 9-day difference between the effects of anxiety and my ability to handle it when I'm exercising.
Yeah.
You know, if I'm being physically active and being careful about what I eat, I can notice, you know, when I shift into an anxious place and adjust my state of mind, right? Because it doesn't feel normal. But when I have been out of a rhythm of exercising, when I'm not eating well, and I just don't feel great overall, it's hard to notice things that are abnormal, you know, and then I find myself spiraling into anxiety. So I can personally say, like, even in just day-to-day health and joy, exercise has been directly correlated to my emotional and spiritual well-being. You know, it's easier for me to cast my cares on Christ when I'm exercising, as silly as that sounds. Just, you know, but you think about, I have a friend who's a pastor and his wife is a counselor. One of the things they have been talking about is how how much of counseling now they're recommending that people go outside and do physical activities. And if you look back in human history, like 100 years, where if you, you know, if you lived in rural America and you needed to eat, you walked outside to your garden, touched some dirt, picked up a tool, did physical work, and also anxiety and depression levels, you know, all of these mental health rates were not at the levels that they are today. So now we're saying, as a diagnosis, like, go ride a horse, you know what I mean? Go do something that would have been necessary to survival 100 years ago. And it will help your, you know, mental health.
Who would have thought? Huh?
Yeah, I know.
That's very true. So just the fact that you now have that awareness, that you're able to transition from knowing that you're having anxious thoughts. Like, that's exactly what we try to have people to recognize, just to simply recognize whenever that is starting, so that you can get a handle on it by doing those little things.
Sure. Take every thought captive, right?
Yes, like, exactly.
You can only do that if you notice what is a thought from the Lord, what is a thought from the enemy, what is a thought from, you know, my own kind of brokenness or, you know, tendencies. You can't take it captive if you don't know what it is.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. So would you, do you have any advice?
That's supposed to say beginning.
Beginning?
My autocorrect really.
Oh, yeah.
I figured you figured. But when I typed up the script.
Begging.
That can be autocorrect. Fine. I'm horrible at typing. There's so many misprints in everything that I type. Just autocorrect is not my friend. There are too many words that look alike.
Yeah, that's fair. But would you have any advice for a believer who is like wanting to invest in their physical health, like some steps they could take right now that could help them in that journey?
Well, I wanna give some scripture on our first, but so from 1 Corinthians chapter 10, 31, it says, "So whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, do it all for the glory of God." So we don't honestly think about eating or drinking to the glory of God unless we're taking like communion. Mm-hmm. Like, oh yeah, definitely do that for the glory of God. But, and some people don't necessarily eat around a table and pray for thank God for the meal. And so starting to have those little shifts towards more spiritual disciplines will definitely kind of get us more on track.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then Proverbs 4:23 says to guard your heart above all else, for it determines the course of your life.
Mm.
So that's a very strong statement. The course of your life is determined by your heart. Mm-hmm. So I want to kind of implore people to kind of take a deeper look in their heart. And I know that I'm speaking to some men right now.
Yeah.
So, if it's about the change in your heart condition whenever it comes to truly taking care of your health and choosing to do the spiritual disciplines.
Sure.
Because you're not just checkmarking them off of a box. You're doing them for a greater purpose, a bigger purpose, a godly purpose that he has instilled within you.
Yeah.
So, I mean, as a personal trainer, I can give you all the head knowledge about proteins, fats, carbs, electrolytes, strength training, cardio, you know, sleep, stress levels, cortisol, like all of that. I can give you all that knowledge, but that's all up here.
Mm-hmm.
Lasting change doesn't occur unless you have a heart condition change, unless your heart is softened by God.
Mm. Yeah, absolutely.
So many people, as you know, they get, you know, super pumped and hyped up for the new year and they make these New Year's resolutions, right?
Sure. Yeah.
So over 90% of people quit. Mm-hmm. And you wonder, you know, why is that? And that's the reason that they've got all this head knowledge and they've got these, you know, social media influencers that are just getting them all super pumped for everything. And it's great. It is good to get knowledge because the Bible says it's good to get knowledge, but you need wisdom as well.
Yeah.
So it's kind of a mindset shift because whenever you're doing things thinking about things from only a mindset and not having that heart condition change. It's more of a selfish, which many people start their physical journeys in a selfish manner. But as we journey on the way as Christians and Jesus followers, we kind of shift our thinking from a selfish mindset into a selfless mindset. So we are, we're kind of, we want to be more wholehearted in the things that we're choosing to do. And in order for us to be wholehearted, we kind of have to give it over God.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. That's why I went to I started going to the gym in November, not January. And that helped tremendous for me. I think that's why I didn't stop going.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, I have more scripture. Mm-hmm. So from Ezekiel 36, 26 and 27, it says, I will give you a new heart and I will put a new spirit in you. I will take out your stony, stubborn heart and give you a tender, responsive heart. And I will put my spirit in you so that you will follow my decrees and be careful to obey my regulations. So this kind of goes back to what I said at the beginning. A peaceful heart leads to a healthy body.
Mm-hmm.
So if we don't lean into God, then our heart is going to stay hard. And so you're not going to have a purpose to take care of your physical health.
Sure.
A purpose to step into your next spiritual discipline. A purpose to get baptized. Like, if you don't think about surrendering those things over to God, it's not going to happen.
Sure, yeah.
So I'd be interested to hear from both of you, but, like, what are some things that a new believer could do on the spiritual side of it? Instead of just physical, what are some things that would be good for a new believer to dip their toe in, as it were?
Okay. Well, let me go ahead and give you the big bang, the firework.
Ooh,
okay. All right. So we'll pull it all together. So Matthew 22, 37 and 39. So it is the greatest commandment. So this is what I have based every part of my health journey on, no matter if it was mental, emotional, spiritual, physical, everything about me bases it all off of what Jesus said is the greatest commandment. So it says, love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, and all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment, and the second is like it. To love your neighbor as yourself. So my personal philosophy is that I cannot pour from an empty cup. So I'm not able to pour into another person unless I myself am full. And so I see this verse in three different ways. I see it as we need to love God first, and then we love ourselves, and then we're able to love others. So love God, love ourselves, then love others. And so I wanted to ask. So this verse talks about with all your heart, all your soul, and all your mind. What do those three have in common? You don't have to answer if you don't.
Oh. The whole body?
Exactly.
The whole self?
They are encapsulated within your physical body. And so if you're not able to take care of your physical body, which your heart, soul, and mind are in, how are you able to love God, love yourself, and love others? How are we able to live out the commandment that we've been given? So it brings it around full circle. So I wanted to leave you guys with another list, and I don't want you guys to like take this as like an end all be all type of a list. I know, but I figured that's what everybody wants. They want a list.
Yeah.
So this list, you will find similarities to CJ's sermon a couple weeks ago whenever he talked about pursuing, praying, and trusting. So those are also within this. So how do you take control over your health journey, which is physical, mental, emotional, and spiritual? Number one, as a personal trainer and counselor, I would like for you guys to just slow down, maybe take a Sabbath. When's the last time you took a Sabbath? Just saying. Deep breathe. Like, God does not want to overwhelm you, because in a lot of ways, some new believers, the beginners, they get so scared because they're overwhelmed because there's so much. And they're like, hang on, I thought there was only like 5 spiritual disciplines. Now there's like 20. What sure. do you mean?
Yeah.
And so God doesn't want to overwhelm us. So sometimes just slowing down, taking a breather, take a Sabbath, like get your head in the game.
Sure. For sure.
Yeah. So number 2 is go to God in prayer and surrender. So many times we like to have control over things and, you know, hold on to that little apron string. But if we're able to surrender it over to God, like I've mentioned earlier, he's the one who's going to be able to soften our heart. And it's only whenever you soften your heart that you're able to have a lasting change. Yeah. Then number 3 is find a scripture and stand on it. So in many areas of my life, I didn't really see, I didn't really have like the aha moment until I found a scripture. And it's like I was a little kid in Sunday school again, and you're doing memory verses and you're like, I remember this and this and this. It changed the way I thought about things. And yeah, so finding scripture. And then number 4 is go ahead and get the head knowledge. Knowledge is good.
Oh, yeah.
Go ahead. Go see the doctor. Go see the counselor. Get the personal trainer. But also seek out a mentor. Because in many, many times, whenever I was working in rehabilitation for years, people would tell me that they wish that they would have taken care of themselves better whenever they were younger. So if we chose to have an older mentor in our life, they could give us that clarity and that wisdom of life experience to say, hey, maybe what you're doing isn't the best. Huh. And then 5, there's only 7.
Oh,
so forgot to mention that at first. Okay, so we're on 5.
Now, okay.
Yeah. I know, right? Yeah.
Easy.
Okay, 5. When opposition comes, because it will, you've got to ask yourself, what is the last thing that God told me to do? Okay, so whenever we're on our spiritual journey and we're praying and we're reading and we're doing all this and we're staying so consistent and diligent, there's going to be times where the enemy's going to come and he's going to knock us off that righteous path. Straight and narrow path. You're going to just slowly start to, you know, lean over. So whenever that does happen, have that acknowledgement like you had, and then be like, okay, what's the last thing God told me to do? And then you go back and you're like, okay, maybe God told me to forgive somebody. So maybe I need to forgive them, but maybe your heart is still really hard. So maybe you need to lean into God about that a little bit more. And then also, don't be afraid whenever God asks you to repeat the same thing again. We don't oftentimes learn things quickly.
I don't. Yeah, sure.
So sometimes God is going to ask you to learn another lesson over. And it's really disheartening, but it's good for us. And he's a good, good father, right? He knows best. Okay, 6. We are going to trust him. So in 18, it talks about God is the potter and we are the clay. So if you think about the process of a pottery wheel and the everything, the water, the clay, the amount, the spinning, the kiln afterwards, like everything has such an intricate process. But if we're able to trust God, he's the one who's forming us, you know, molding and making us into who he created us to be, then we know that it's all in his hands. So we can have that peace that surpasses all understanding in our hearts. But he's got it. Okay, last one. Please know that, like we mentioned earlier, that all of these spiritual disciplines are taking care of your physical health, your mental health, your emotional health, your spiritual health. There's no checkered flag. There's no trophy. You're not going to get the gold star Christian, you know, there's not going to be a crowd necessarily I mean, sometimes there's a crowd. We cheer for baptisms, right?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. But don't expect some big thing. And just God will give you so much love and a sense of accomplishment. And that closeness with God is worth it all, in my mind. So the reason why many of us choose to do spiritual disciplines is because God has set before us life and death, blessing and cursing. And God says to choose life. And so we follow his guidance to do the spiritual disciplines and take care of our health because we want to choose life.
Yeah.
Yeah, for sure.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I think on both those, both spiritually, physically, it is not an easy process. It can be like hills and valleys. Like it can be easy in some points, but hard. And in the disciplines, we say spiritual disciplines, but in the fitness side, but it still takes discipline. It still takes consistency. It might not be perfect every time, but being consistent day in and day out, you start to see the results and you feel better physically and emotionally. And it becomes more and more worth it and just part of your regular life. But discipline is just, I think, huge.
Yeah, absolutely. I've been thinking about this quote I heard on a podcast recently from Teddy Roosevelt. He said, in any situation, the best thing to do is the right thing. The second best thing to do is the wrong thing. And the worst thing to do is nothing.
Oh.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what I would say to anybody trying to begin physical or spiritual health. There is a right thing to do.
For sure.
Right? Mm-hmm. Like there are better places you could go read as a new believer. It would be better. I would recommend read through the Gospel of John. Don't just do the verse a day on the Bible app.
Yeah.
Learn scripture, right?
Yeah.
I would recommend get an exercise routine. Don't just, run half a mile one day and then do 10 sit-ups the next day. Like get a pattern. Mm-hmm. That's the right thing, right? That's the best thing. But the second best thing is just to do something, right? So don't beat yourself up if you didn't read through the book of John. If all you're like, do something, read a verse a day, spend 3 minutes praying on your drive to work, or spend 10 minutes in silence in the car listening to the Lord. Walk more. You know what I mean? Like on your lunch break, don't sit. Walk around and eat your sandwich, whatever. Like do something. The worst thing we can do is just hear something like this and think, yeah, man, I got to get more healthy physically and spiritually, and then not do anything about it. It's better to do something that you realize in 3 weeks didn't work and you need to try something else than to just not do anything. Right.
Yeah. And also knowing that, make it your own, because if you are not a runner, which I am not a runner, I am never going to like running.
Yeah.
Like it's just not going to happen. Mm-hmm. So I'm not going to choose to run because it doesn't satisfy me, but I will choose to do something different.
Yeah.
So try different things. There's so many different things to try.
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah. And if you're not trying at all, you're never going to find what that is that, and I think that even goes with spiritual disciplines. Like, if reading your Bible in this area or this time of day isn't working, try something different, you know?
Yeah.
Nowhere in the Bible does it say read it in the morning.
What? I can change that?
Nothing that says you have to read it first thing in the morning.
Okay.
Read it in the night.
Change everything.
Hey, here's something that might blow people's minds. Most of church history, nobody had Bibles to read. Most of church history. I'm not saying don't read your Bible. I'm actually saying the opposite. I'm saying you have access to it, so take advantage of it, because for 1600 or so years of our history, people would have given anything to have them. But my point is, you could listen to it. You know?
Yeah. Faith cometh by hearing.
Like, listen to it, because that's what most people were doing. They were going to church and listening to it read and listening to it taught.
Sure.
You can memorize it and meditate on it. You could read the same psalm every day for a week. You do not need to read for distance. You don't need to read through the whole Bible in a year. That's a wonderful thing to do. You don't have to do it. Find what's going to work. Get into the Word. Do something. Change it later if it doesn't work.
Yeah.
But try it.
For sure.
A body in motion tends to stay in motion. That's science.
Wow.
Yeah. So get in motion and you will tend to stay there. Yeah. All right.
That's sweet.
Sarah, thank you so much.
Yeah.
This
was awesome.
Great. Well, thank you for having me.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
It's been great.
Yeah, this has been great. So we will see y'all next time on probably after our gravity series.
Yes.
Yeah. For our next ecosystem.
Here we go.
Catch you later.
Peace.